This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
Greetings again, everyone. I want to thank you for joining us again on another edition of the Armor of God. The topic for today's program is going to focus on 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. But before we get to that topic today, before we really get into some scriptures in those two books, I want to talk about how I came to the idea of today's program. Now, with the Church of God International, we have elders throughout the United States, and people will write letters or emails to our home office in Tyler, Texas. What the home office will then do is they will send letters out to the elders throughout the United States, letting them know that this particular person is interested in talking or that particular person needs to understand something related to some biblical matter or about the church. Well, I received one of these letters a number of months ago, and I called this individual up and we began talking. And in talking to him, I started to find out what he was really concerned with. And what he was really concerned with was he had been listening to another Christian talk show or radio program. And on that particular radio program, the host was talking as if we were now in the throes of the last days, that we were living in the last days spoken of in the Bible. And I tried to alleviate some of his concern. I talked a little bit about some signs that the Bible says have to precede Jesus' second coming. And in listening to some of these signs, Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, a man of sin having to be revealed, I alleviated the concern of this individual a little bit because he thought we were right in it and what should he do? Now, in relating that story to you, when we look back at the Thessalonian church, from about 50 AD, we will see that they had some issues that today's Christians have, whether it's looking at the resurrection or talking about the last days. There are some similarities between what was going on with that church in about 50 AD and what's going on in God's churches today. So that's the approach we're going to take on today's program as we look at 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. But before we do that, what I'd like to do is we want to offer you some free literature and also a free CD on today's program. The literature I'd like to offer you today is titled, Things to Do While Waiting for Jesus to Return. Things to Do While Waiting for Jesus to Return. After His resurrection, Jesus Christ ascended up into heaven, and we are awaiting His return in the meantime. Are we to sit by passively and do nothing, or is there something we should be doing? This pamphlet will get into those things we should be doing, like good works, repenting, reading and studying your Bible, learning to pray as Jesus prayed, personal overcoming, and individually and collectively doing the work of God on this earth. We'd also like to offer you a free CD sermon. The title of this CD is Rapture, Truth or Fiction. Did you know that the concept of a rapture is something that's only been around in Christianity for the last 200 years or so? This was not a topic of discussion in the first century AD. You don't have debates raging about the rapture in the Middle Ages. Learn more about this topic. Is the rapture truth or fiction? To get both of these items, all you need to do is call us at 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. Or visit our website, www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. Go to the link for contacting us and let us know what your requests are. Thanks again for joining us on today's program. I want to thank those of you who are with us and those of you who are just tuning in. We're going to be talking today about 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, two books in your New Testament. And what I was saying in the intro to today's show is that there are some similarities between this early 1st century church and the church of today. Some of the issues that are of concern to Christians today were issues that concerned Christians a couple thousand years ago. So we're going to focus on 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. But before we get into that, before we really begin to focus on that, I want to give you a little background information on 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Now, when I say background information, where was Thessalonica? Well, if we look at the modern day map today, we will find that modern Thessalonica is close to Salonika, Greece, today. It's a city in northeastern Greece. Now, at the time that Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, there were about 200,000 inhabitants in this particular city. Now, Paul was the writer of this book. That's what most biblical scholars will tell you. There are some that would disagree about 2 Thessalonians, but most scholars would say it was written by Paul. Some of those who disagree about 2 Thessalonians say that the style and the tone of the writing is a little different than 1 Thessalonians. But again, as we have all written letters before, although maybe we're not doing it as much as we used to, we know that sometimes we will change the tone or the style of how we're writing. So most biblical scholars agree that Paul was the writer of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Some other things to be aware of when we look at this particular background information on this book is that at the time that the Thessalonian church was going, it was within the province of Macedonia within ancient Rome. So I just wanted to provide you with a little background information before we get into the meat of what we're going to discuss here in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Now let's go ahead and turn over to these books in our Bibles if you have your Bible handy. And I'm going to first turn to 1st Thessalonians. And what I'd like to talk about here is I want to give you a little background as to how this church got started. And if you hold your place there, if you do have your Bibles, and go back to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 17, I'm going to pick it up in verse 1 of Acts chapter 17. What we have here in Acts 17 is how the Thessalonian church got started, basically. So I think this is relevant to our study today. Acts 17:1 says the following. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. Now, there weren't just Greeks living in this city. There were Jews living in this city also. Verse 2. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. So notice what he was preaching about to them, about the resurrection, about Jesus Christ. That will become significant when we take a closer look at 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Verse 4, and some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. So Paul and Silas had an effect here. They got a following from what they were preaching. Verse 5, but the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Now notice, as this church begins, there is some problem with those living around them. They're being persecuted for their faith right from the get-go. Verse 7, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. So we see here, right at the beginning stages of this church at Thessalonica, there was persecution of the believers in this particular church. Remember that as we go into our little study of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Now, I'd like to turn back over to 1st Thessalonians and just give you some more information. Now, what happened when Paul hightailed it out of town? He moved slowly down towards southern Greece. Now, as you can imagine, travel at that time, at that place, was much more difficult and took a lot longer. So Paul ends up in southern Greece, and he's wondering, how's the church doing back in Thessalonica? So what he does is he sends Timothy back up there to give him a report on what's going on. Timothy comes back to Paul, gives him the report, and that leads Paul to write his letter to the Thessalonians. Now, let's look for evidence of this over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and I'm going to pick it up in verse 2. Here's what it says. And sent Timotheus, or Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. So here we have that evidence that, yes, Timothy did go to them. He was sent by Paul. If we drop down into verse 6 of this same chapter, but now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. So Timothy brought Paul this report. It sounds for the most part like it was a good report, like the church in Thessalonica was doing okay. Now let's look at some scriptures that bring that point out. We will find these scriptures in the beginning of 1 Thessalonians, and then we're going to take a look at the last two chapters of Thessalonians, because there's a difference in what Paul is saying in those last two chapters. So let's pick it up a little bit here in chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians in verse 13. What was the basic theme of the letter that Paul was writing to this particular church? In 2 and verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians, he says this, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." So Paul sounds very positive here about this church. They believe what Paul had been telling them, that it was as if it was the word of God, and they were following what Paul had been telling them. Another scripture to take note of is in 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 9. We read this there, "For what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God." Again, sounds positive. He's given them some positive feedback here. And one other scripture I'd like to look at is in chapter 4, right at the beginning in verse 1. Notice what Paul says to them. "Furthermore then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more." So he's basically saying, hey, keep it going. Keep the faith. Continue to do what you're doing. But, as with all churches, there are some problems. There are some issues. And when we look at chapters 4 and 5, Paul kind of switches things up on us just a little bit. Now, what do I mean by that? If you turn with me over into chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, I'm going to pick it up in verse 13. Were there some questions, were there some issues that Timothy may have brought to Paul? Commentators believe so as we look at verse 13. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not. even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now, the problem or concern here, remember, this was a brand new church. Paul may have been preaching to some of these people about Christianity for the first time, especially those pagan Gentile Greeks who were in this city. So when he tells them about a resurrection, when he talks to them about Christ, it may have been the first time they ever heard this. So would they remember everything he told them? Would he have been able to tell them everything he wanted to tell them? Not likely. So he's trying to fill in some of the gaps, I believe, with this letter about what happens to the dead. Let's read on here in verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What might have been one of the issues the Thessalonians were dealing with? It's possible that from the time Paul had left them until Timothy went up there, that some of the brethren may have died. And some of them who had heard about this resurrection may have thought, well, wait a minute, this fellow died and he hasn't been resurrected yet. What's happened here? So that question may have been there among some of them, and Paul is giving them the detailed information about the resurrection. This resurrection is going to occur when Jesus returns. It's not like the resurrection of Jesus, which had to precede all of this. He's giving them information that they may have not remembered, they may have not had available, but he's laying the groundwork for establishing an understanding of what this resurrection is all about, why we don't need to fear death, because there may have been some questions relating to that among the church brethren in Thessalonica. Now, looking also at chapter 5, of 1 Thessalonians, let's take a look at verse 6. It says, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. So Paul again here is telling them to be sober. Hey, watch out, be aware, be awake. So there may be some reason, some details that Timothy brought to him about some of the brethren who maybe were not being sober, were not being watchful of what they were getting involved in and what they were doing. And as you read all of 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, you will see some of that information creep into what Paul is writing about there. Now, having said all that, let's focus in on verse 3 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Notice what Paul says. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now, there was a lot of apocalyptic literature around at this time. And within that literature that some of these folks may have been reading about the end times, a lot of it talked about troubles would increase, and then finally the end would come upon people. So with Paul's letter here talking about the birth pangs of a woman, where a woman who's going through labor will start to feel that pain and it will increase until finally the child is born, they may have interpreted some of the persecution they were going through, which may have been increasing, as telling them that, hey, Paul's saying this is the end time. Now, the reason some scholars say that is when we look over at the second letter to the Thessalonians, let's take a look there and see what we find. Let's notice in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 4. Now, this is a new letter that he's writing to them. Notice what he says there in 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 4. So that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Now, we've already talked about when this church began, they were being persecuted. And we know from Paul's letter here that that persecution had continued, and it's possible that there had been an increase of persecution upon this particular church. Could that be why some of them thought they may have been living in the end times, if they related that back to what Paul had said back in that first letter about the birth pangs of a woman? Some commentators say that is a possibility when we begin to understand these two letters. But let's take a look further in 2 Thessalonians and see if there are any other indications that this was their mindset, that they may have thought they were living in the last days or the end of time. If you drop into 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 11, notice this interesting bit of scripture that Paul mentions here. It says, "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread." Is it possible that some of those who thought, hey, maybe we're in the end times, had quit working and had started getting some of their bread from other brethren within the church? You will read some commentaries on the Bible that speak about that possibility here in understanding those scriptures, that these believers were concerned with the end times, and they thought they may have been living in the end times, and some of them may have quit their jobs. And Paul's trying to set them straight here. Hey, get back to work. You need to work to eat. And you can't be getting your bread from others, so get back to work, church. We may see that here in Scripture. Another thing that Paul lets them know about is a sign to look for that the end was near. So again, this leads some to believe that these people may have had that mindset, much like the individual I was talking about earlier in today's program, who was set off by a Christian he had heard on the radio. Turn with me into 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3, and let me read something to you there. It says this, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day," speaking of the time of the end, "shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." So he's trying to say, hey, ladies and gentlemen, wait a minute. This has to happen before the end of time comes, and they may have had that mindset from these clues we get from 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Now, something I would like to have told the 1 Thessalonian church or the individual who I was talking about earlier on today's program, which I didn't have an opportunity to tell him. I thought about this later, as many times we want to tell somebody something and we think about this particular fact or item later. I find this over in Matthew chapter 6, and I'd like you all to go there if you have your Bibles at home or remember this piece of scripture. It's over in Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to pick it up in verse 25. Notice what it says. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you will eat or what you will drink, nor yet for your body what you will put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment?" And if we drop down in this set of scripture, I'm going to pick it up in verse 30. "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." What's Scripture telling us? It's saying, hey, don't worry, be happy. Okay, as the song said years ago, don't worry, be happy. You know God is on your side. If you're seeking that kingdom first, God is going to be there for you. It doesn't matter if you're in the end times. It doesn't matter if you're suffering persecution. It doesn't matter what you're going through. God is going to pull you through it. God is going to be there for you. You can rely on God. There are numerous scriptures that bear this point out. I don't want us to lose sight of that. Paul also said in 1 Thessalonians that live that law of love. Live from that standpoint of life rather than obsessing over the time of the end or all the issues that come up in day-to-day life. Follow God's way, seek that kingdom first, and everything's going to be great in your life. What I'd like you to do is hang in there for me. We're going to offer you a little more information at the close of today's program, but I want to thank you for joining us thus far. So long for now.
Undeniably, we have to admit there are many differing beliefs within the Christian community today. The fact that we've got thousands of differing denominations illustrates this reality. Mike covered a big territory today, a lot of subjects, and perhaps in passing generated some questions in some of those subjects he touched on. But one subject that he did touch on is that he did address that Christians of the past had similar approaches that we see today in Christians that, well, perhaps are out on the fringe. You know, the ones that are kind of collecting food and making sure they got enough ammo for their guns. And we need to be careful about that kind of fanaticism. Yet by the same token, not naive over the fact that we're not in tough times, because we are. And that there are and will most likely be tough times, and Jesus still will not return. So taking precautions is wise, certainly, but not throwing caution to the wind. In other words, being balanced. Won't you let us help you to pursue a more balanced approach about these times that we're in as we wait for Christ to return? Dial now 888-578-8791 and ask the operator for the free offers that we're presenting on today's program. The booklet titled Things to Do While Waiting for Christ to Return, in combination with a one-hour presentation titled Rapture, Truth or Fiction, a one-hour presentation given before a live audience. Both of these offers, my friends, let me remind you, are free for the asking. All you've got to do is dial that 888 number there, 578-8791. And don't forget, by the way, that website that's posted up there on your screen at www.cgi.org. Go there. You can find a lot more material for your perusal and consideration. Friends, this is Bill Watson reminding you, as we always do, you keep on that armor of God so that you may be able to stand in these evil days.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
The Armor of God deals with the solutions to our broken world. New perspectives presented for your consideration by our commentators in these tumultuous times. Don't miss this week's program.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.